But tonight we're going to look at the last of the Ten Commandments. Someone said it's the sin that no one will admit. Have you ever heard anybody confess out saying that they had a covetous heart? Exodus chapter 20, verse number 17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Thou shalt not covet. One of the first things that you and I might notice about this commandment is that there is a shifting away from action going into the realm of attitude. Now, I realize that some of these other commandments could also deal, especially as we come over into the New Testament and Jesus reiterated them for us, deal with attitude or with the mind. But this commandment really is dealing solely with the attitude, with something that is within. Something that you and I cannot literally put our finger on in another person's life. Because if it's visible, it's probably become visible through some other means, through some other avenue. All the breaking of the commandments, I realize, originate in the heart or in the mind, but they ultimately find their expression, their ultimate expression, in some type of physical activity or verbal activity. This commandment seems to be different from that in that it's not a physical activity as such. It's not a verbal activity. And so we probably, from that, would realize that we can't really remember anybody confessing to it or owning up to it, that they have had a covetous heart or they have had a problem with being covetous. This one also could be the root or the basis of a person breaking any of the previous nine. I don't know if there's any significance then that this is the last one. Maybe there is. Maybe it's because God was realizing that as He's given us nine, that here's the final one, though it may be the most insignificant outwardly, it is the most significant in that all the others could have a root in this one. Story been told about Abraham Lincoln was seen walking along the street with his two sons, and both of the boys were crying. A passerby asked the president what was wrong, why they were crying, and he responded and said, "Exactly what's wrong with the whole world." He said, "I have three walnuts and each boy wants two." Always wanting more than what we have. Another story is told about a woman named Henrietta Garrett, lonely widow that she was, 81 years of age, died in her home on November the 16th, 1930. And unwillingly, she started a most frantic case of inheritance litigation, at least at the time the story was being told in history. She failed to leave a will. At least there was no will found for her $17 million estate. Now, that's a lot of money today, but in 1930, it was worth a few pennies more than what it is today. 1930, $17 million estate. As the story goes, the mystery is still unsolved. She had expertly handled all of her financial affairs since her husband's death in 1895. Therefore, many felt that she must have realized that without a will, her fortune would become involved in legal battles. Although Mrs. Garrett, at the time of her death, had only one known relative, a second cousin, and less than a dozen friends, attempts to prove relationship to her and claim a part of her estate was made by more than 26,000 persons from 47 states and 29 foreign countries. Represented, here you go, Edward, represented by more than 3,000 lawyers. In their efforts to obtain her estate, there were those that committed perjury, faked family records, changed their own names, altered data in family Bibles, concocted absurd tales of illegitimacy. As a result, 12 were confined, 10 received jail sentences, 2 committed suicide, 3 were murdered. I wonder how many of those people would admit that they had a heart full of covetousness. When it comes right down to it, there's probably a lot of people, if they were honest, who would have to admit that they possessed a covetous heart. As a matter of fact, we can't even read the Bible without finding incident after incident of people who wanted something that wasn't theirs. It starts in the Garden of Eden. She coveted the forbidden fruit. And one thing we notice of so many of these that had the covetous heart, the tentacles of consequence go on and on. As we know even today, the effect that you and I have or face based upon Eve's covetous heart, having or desiring to have something that wasn't hers. We don't go very much further than that, and we'll find a man by the name of Achan who coveted something that was so seemingly insignificant in comparison to the end result. He wanted some gold, he wanted some silver, and he wanted a costly, expensive garment. It made a whole nation come to defeat, and ultimately his life and his family's life was taken. Wow. We don't go very much further than that until we come to an individual who coveted a vineyard. His name was Ahab, and he coveted Naboth's vineyard. And in his attempt to get that vineyard, he murdered. He came to the point of actually bringing murder into his life. The wife of Uriah, Bathsheba, was coveted by a man named David. You know the end result of that as well. It didn't just end with David and Bathsheba, but it ended also with Uriah's death and the sword of God being brought to generations of David's house. We come over into the New Testament, Judas. Could it have been said that Judas was motivated by a coveting heart? How about Ananias and Sapphira? The thing that they did in causing them to lie against the Holy Spirit, was it really based or rooted in a heart that was covetous? As great as I would look at the Apostle Paul, perhaps he was also tempted with being covetous. Romans chapter 7, verse 7. He said, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet." Covetousness has been a problem as long as man has been in this world. Paul talks to Timothy about the extent of covetousness as well, even venturing into the last days. He tells Timothy in his second epistle, "This know also, that in the last days perilous days or times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous." Jesus gave us a very sound warning in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 15. He said, "Take heed." I don't know that our language, just simply reading that, gives the expression that surely Christ must have had as you read the rest of the verse or the following verses as well. Just simply, "Take heed." You know, we can pass over pretty easily those words, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." Was Jesus recognizing in that verse that people have a problem of wanting something that isn't theirs? Once upon a time, a number of years ago, I thought that I wanted to pastor a particular church. Well, there's some reasons for it. Not all of them are proudful. Not all of them are self-serving. I thought that it was a pretty nice church to pastor. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine was talking to another friend of mine at the time that I resigned at Evansville, and the accusation by the second friend was that I resigned because the pastor of that church yonder had also resigned, and I was hopeful in being able to get that church. Fortunately, friend number one told friend number two that the reason why I resigned Evansville was because I was committing myself here. Because I learned very quickly that that other church was not a place to be coveted. As it is usually in most cases, because God calls people. But you see, covetousness can really affect all of our lives. And I'm afraid that sometimes we would pass over Jesus' warning in Luke 12, 15 as though something that we just quickly read over, but in reality it ought to raise some red flags. Jesus is saying, "Take heed, stop and pay attention here. Beware, there is the possibility of being covetous." Covetousness is a disease that affects all of life. It makes a person greedy for gain, never satisfied with what they have, wanting what they don't have. Actually, the word covet means to desire greatly. Once upon a time, I don't believe this story is really very old, but a man was very tired of all of his friends owning nicer homes than his. He always felt inferior to them. So he decided that he would even things out a little bit, and he went to see a realtor and put his house on the market. One day he was reading the newspaper and was looking over all of the ads of houses, trying to find a house that he wanted to buy, and he found one. He thought, "This is surely the house that I want." And he called the realtor and said, "Such and such listing, I want to look at that. I believe that that's the house I want to buy." And the realtor looked or said back to him and said, "Sir, that's the listing of your house that we have for you." Does that speak anywhere close to home tonight? If it does, then Jesus said it very succinctly, "Take heed." It makes us grab another person's wealth. Things that are not ours to go after, whether it's property or people or possessions, things that are really not ours to desire, not ours to pursue, to go for. Property. Now the verse says, well, what does it say? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. But I believe, don't you, that it's safe to say that that includes all of property. Now, sometimes we may say when we see something, well, that's been abandoned. I don't know if I said anything about that nice chainsaw that I found laying along the road out here. You know, there's not very many ridge runners that would be happy or who wouldn't be happy to have a steel chainsaw. You know, it's just something about having a steel chainsaw. I was in Evansville. I had a home light. My neighbor had a Remington electric chainsaw. So when I brought mine out to cut up, he was like, wow, that thing's tough. You know, you don't bring out a home light chainsaw out here in Martin County. You got to have a Husqvarna or a steel something. And so I'm driving along, and here's a steel laying right on the road. Wow. Early Christmas present. The problem was I found out real quick who lost it. Well, I'd like to have a steel chain. No. I didn't need it that bad, did I? Because it would have been an expression at that point, covetous heart coming out in a stealing hand. No pun intended. Property. If it belongs to somebody else, we are to leave it alone. Somebody said that, in fact, we are to protect their interest in it as if it were ours. Isn't that something? Protect their interest in it as if it were ours. This verse also mentions coveting the neighbor's wife, or neighbor's husband, as the case may be. That's where David went wrong, wasn't it? Not only his wife, but also the people that worked for him. What not? Possessions, same thing. Going along with the possessions of things that a person owns. Another story. Archaeologists were unearthing an ancient city of Pompeii. 20,000 people died during the eruption. This sounds like those old Greek mythology stories. The eruption of Mount Vesuvius. I don't know. Do you know it? How to pronounce it? Okay. I don't know. It doesn't matter to the story. They uncovered in this archaeological attempt, they were uncovering the bodies of those that were dead 2,000 years later. Among them, they found the well-preserved bodies of people who were caught totally off guard by the explosion of this powerful volcano. People found sitting at their dinner tables, their food still on their plates. Others were found in their beds sleeping. One woman, though, stands out among all the rest of the victims. When the scientists uncovered her body, they found clutched in her hands tens of thousands of dollars worth of precious stones. It seemed as though when death was raining down from the mountain above, she risked her life trying to save a couple handfuls of her gems. Now, a couple thousand years later, the property that she was so vainly trying to grab and hang on to belongs to who? Somebody else. You know, that's the way it's going to be for all of us. We can't keep it. I've said it before, there's no luggage racks on a hearse. It goes to somebody else. Covetousness is a disease that'll destroy all of life. Covetousness also, as I mentioned earlier, will lead men to break God's other laws. It may be the last, but it can cause someone to break all of them. You look at it. You look down through it. And every single one of them can be broken because somebody wanted something that didn't belong to them. Putting possessions or money ahead of God, or bowing to the altar of materialism or greed, blaspheming the Lord's name in their efforts to acquire something. On and on we can go with all of these other nine. Marriages broken up because somebody was so caught up in increasing their salt, they forgot to or neglected their sugar. So caught up in developing their personal life that they failed and neglected the thing that Jesus said we must cultivate in marriage. Take heed. I think even more and more that Jesus meant something great when He said, "Take heed, beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." The psalmist even had something to say about it. In the 10th division of the Psalms, verse 3, "For the wicked boasteth of her heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth." Another thing about covetousness, we can never be truly faithful to the Lord as long as we are consumed by the love of other things. You see, really the bottom line once again brings us back to this, that Jesus is the one that must fill our vision. And until He does, everything else of our life will be completely out of balance. Until He is first, until He is the single eye, everything else in our life, oh, we may think we're juggling things okay, but it'll come up and catch us. Another story goes like this, that there was a certain wealthy man, and he was walking in the hallway one day, and he happened to be coming up on one of his little maids, little girl, young girl that worked for him, and he heard her muttering to herself, "I wish I had just $5. I would be so happy." So he wondered what would happen, so he reached into his pocket and pulled out a $5 bill, and as he went past her, he handed it to her and went right on his way. But before he was out of earshot, she grumbled again and said, "Why didn't I ask for 10? Perhaps you've also heard the story of the court battle that ensued over a Pepsi cap. Just a simple Pepsi cap. It seems that in a workplace, a woman had left her Pepsi bottle behind as she left for the day. Somebody else, who was always checking Pepsi bottle caps, happened to see it and inquired of everybody else whose it was, and nobody would admit to it being theirs, and so she took it to throw it away and took the cap off, only to realize that it was a $1 million cap. Seems now that the first lady who left the bottle laying for somebody else to discard was going to take her and was taking her to court, suing her for all of the money. It didn't mean anything to her before she realized that it was a valuable cap. But once she realized it, I know you could say, well, the other lady should have just given it back. We can argue it all day, I suppose. Somebody said that our problem is not that we have too little, nor is it that we possess too much. At the heart of covetousness, we find that we want more than we need. Not that we have too little or that we possess too much, but that we want more than what we need. Epicurus wrote it this way: "If you want to make a man happy, add not to his possessions, but take away from his desires." How very true. Let's stand together tonight. Don't add to the possessions. Take away from the desires. So very true. Lord bless you this week. Give you a good week in Him. Thank you once again for your attendance and attention. Lord bless you. Brother Kenneth, would you dismiss us tonight with prayer?